All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Let's begin. So we'll begin by thanking Michael and Zalman for dedicating the shiur this morning in commemoration of the archetype of Michael's mother, Beatrice Fagelman, Bunya Bas Chaim Asher Zichron Livracha, broke down the merit of our Talmud Torah, then Shomel Havan Aliyah, and the family in Nechama. Shkoyach. And to thank Bennett Goldberg, our Talmud Torah sponsor for the month of Evel, for dedicating all of the shiurim and drushes in memory of his parents. To thank Jonas and Rachel Wolf of Highland Park, New Jersey, for dedicating this year in the zchus of the neshama of Rachel's mother. We hope that the neshamas have an aliyah and the family a nechama. And suppose with that, let's begin. Beautiful daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Ches. We are picking up at the Gemara on Zayin Amud Beis 7b, literally at the beginning of the Gemara, about 13, 14 lines up from the bottom. So the Gemara begins with the statement, Katani, Eimolin Babasar, Me'iluhu Dalaka, Ha'isuri Ika. So just to orient ourselves a bit, so remember again, the Mishnah was speaking about the impact of the blood service on Kodshe Kadoshim and Kodshim Kalim. So for example, when it comes to Kodshe Kadoshim, so the Mishnah explains, that Lefnezri Gastam, so again, by Kodshe Kadoshim, before you go ahead and you sprinkle the blood, so ultimately, again, it is both the Basar as well as the limbs. Both the Basar as well as the Emurin that ultimately are subject to Me'ilah. After Zrika, ultimately, the Emurin, the limbs, are subject to Me'ilah, but the Basar is not subject to Me'ilah. It's that phrase that the Gemara is picking up on right now, that after Zrika, the Basar is not subject to Me'ilah, to which the Gemara infers, Katani, Imolin, Babasar. So now the Mishnah told me that after Zrika, there is no longer any kind of Me'ilah by the meat. So Me'iluhu Daleka, Ha'isuri Ika. So what that sounds like is what? What it sounds like, Rabbi says, after Zrika, there's no longer any Mi'ilah for the meat, but there's still some other kind of Isser. There's still some other kind of Isser. To which the Gemara says, Va'amai, but why would that be? Hamamona de Kohenu. I don't understand. If you have Kodesh Kadashim and you have the Basar, and you had an appropriate Zrika, so after Zrika is done, that meat becomes ultimately again the property of the Kohen. So again, why would it be subject to anything? Are we supposed to hear the inference? So the inference is after Zrika, the meat itself is no longer subject to Me'ilah. It sounds like Me'ilah is gone, but there's still some other kind of prohibition. Why would that be? Halacha lemaise, again, it's the mammon of the Kohen. Lokasha. So we'll say the Gemara at first says it's not a problem. Mishum denasiv reisha ma'alin. Nasiv Seifa Ein Molin. It will say it's only because it's trying to create textual symmetry. Remember again, it's contrasting two different states. The state of before Zrika and the state of after Zrika. So by Kodesh Kadoshim, in the state before Zrika, what's the halacha? What's the halacha? Before Zrika, both the meat as well as the imurin are subject to Mi'ilah. Right? Then it contrasts it ultimately again with the second. Where's the second case? Second case is post Zrika. So therefore, it just employs the same lashon that the imurin are subject to Me'ilah and the meat is not subject to Me'ilah. But it doesn't mean to say the meat's not subject to Me'ilah, but subject to something else. That's not what it means to say. What it means to say is once the after Zrika is done, the meat is no longer subject to Me'ilah and permitted to the Kohanim. Ema Seifa. Let's take a look at the second part of the Mishnah. So remember again, the second part of the Mishnah also dealt with Kodshim Kalim. Right? So Kodshim Kalim, what's the halacha? Before Zrika, for Kodshim Kalim, there is no Me'ilah, both for the meat as well as for the limbs. After Zrika, what did the Mishnah say? After Zrika, there is Me'ilah by the Emor and the sacrificial limbs, but there is no Me'ilah by the Basar, by the meat. So what says the Gemara does the same thing. So the Gemara says, Ema Seifa, B'Kodshim Kalim Kulon HaHachmer. So what did the end of the Mishnah say? By Kodshim Kalim, Zrika always has a Chumradik effect. How so? Ketzad, Basar Kodshim Kalim, Lifnei Zrika Stamim Ein Ma'alin Bahen. So also when it comes to Kodshim Kalim, before Zrika happens, there's no Me'ilah. I'll say again, remember, keep on reinforcing this. This is the distinction between Kachim Kalim and Kachay Kadashim. Kachay Kadashim begin the carbonic journey being subject to Me'ilah, and ultimately it's Zrika which extracts it from Me'ilah, or at least the Basar, not the Emurin. Kachim Kalim is just the opposite, begins its carbonic journey not subject to Me'ilah, and only becomes subject to Me'ilah when? After Zrika. And after Zrika, what is it that becomes subject to Me'ilah? Only the Emurin, the sacrificial limbs, not the Basar. So that's what we're picking up on over here. So the Gemara says, Lifnei Zrika Stamim Emolin Bahen Ube Emurehin. So before Zrika is done, there's no Me'ilah by the meat or by the limbs. Vein Chayav Nalem Mishum Pigol No Servatame. La'achar Zrika Stamim. But after Zrika is done, what's Talacha? Molin Be Emurehin. Ultimately, again, the sacrificial limbs are subject to Me'ilah. Ve'in mo'alin babasar. But there is no Me'ilah with what? With the basar, with the meat. To which, again, Abba said, the Gemara makes the same inference. Me'ilah hu deleka. What it sounds like is, it is the meat of Kachim Kalim after Zrika that is not subject to Me'ilah. However, ha'isuri ika. So I'll say, as you understand where the Gemara is coming from with this, when you make a statement like, well, it's not subject to Me'ilah, that leaves the door open to say, it's not subject to Me'ilah, but what? But what? Subject to something else. So that's the diuk the Gemara is making. I understand, meat after Zrika is not subject to Me'ilah, but perhaps it is subject to some other iser. V'amai, but why would that be so? Ha, mamona de bailim. Who? We'll say at the end of the day, the meat of Kachim Kalim is consumed by who? Is consumed by none other than the owners of the carbon, right? The Yisraelim. So if that's the case, why would they be subject to any kind of Isser? They're totally permitted. To which the Gemara says, oh, what's the case? Am Rabbi Chanina Liyotzin. So we'll say, Rabbi Chanina says, what are we talking about over here? What's the case of the Mishnah? The case of the Mishnah is where you sacrificed the Kachim Kalim. You did Zrika, or I should say before Zrika, what occurred? The meat was taken outside of the precincts of the Beis HaMikdash. Take a look at Rashi, all the way to the second to last line. Am Rabbi Chanina Liyotzi, Kigon, Sheyotza HaBasar Chutz L'Mechitzaso, V'Shuv Nizrak Adam. So we'll say, what happened? The meat was taken outside of the walls of the Beis HaMikdash, and only then was Zrika done. And in accordance with who? But Rabbi Akiva he. So also remember again, Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion, this was yesterday's daf, Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that Allah says Zrika works for sacrificial meat which was taken outside of the precincts of the Beis HaMikdash. That's Rabbi Akiva's opinion. That even though the meat is outside, if Zrika is done, it removes, that Zrika removes Me'ilah. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva he. And therefore, again, it's supposed to say, the Gemara is giving a very narrow definition of the Seifa case. So the Seifa case of the Mishnah, which says that once Zrika is done, the meat of Kachim Kalim is no longer subject to Me'ilah. The Gemara is saying it's not subject to Me'ilah, but it's subject to something else. So what's the case? The case is where the meat was taken outside of the Beis HaMikdash before Zrika was done, and then Zrika was done. And whose opinion does the Mishnah reflect? It reflects the view of Rabbi Akiva. What does Rabbi Akiva say? That even if meat was taken outside of the Beis HaMikdash and Zrika was subsequently done, the Zrika works to what? To what? To remove the Me'ilah status. To which the Amr Rabbi Akiva he. But the Imran qualifies this. V'chi Am Rabbi Akiva Zrika Mo'eles Liotze L'Sreifa. And we'll say, when Rabbi Akiva says that Zrika works, even for sacrificial meat which was taken outside of the Beis HaMikdash, what does that mean? It works, right? What does it mean it works, I will say? So what it means is it works to take off Me'ilah. It also works for something else. If you take a look at the last Rashi on the Daf, the Ki Am Rabbi Akiva Zrika Mo'eles Liyotze, Lotziyom Me'ilah, Ulahavio L'Sreifa. So we'll listen to this. So the halacha is when Rabbi Akiva says that if you have meat outside of the Beis HaMikdash and you do Zrika on that meat inside of the Beis HaMikdash, that Zrika works. That Zrika works to do two things. Number one, to go ahead and take away the Me'ilah status. It also works just for another interesting detail regarding karbanos, which is Sreifa. Right, the act of burning their kabbalah. So I'm going to say, now watch, look at this Rashi. La'alter, now the truth is the Hagos Tzion changes this to velo la'alter. You don't have to burn it immediately. Kimau shar kachim psulim. De lahachi mahanyele zvika, shenanisraf la'alter, ela Ad sheta ubar tsuraso. So we'll say, so this is an interesting idea over here. So to be clear, when Rabbi Akiva says that if you took meat out, sacrificial meat outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and then you did Zrika inside of the Beis HaMikdash, that Zrika, quote unquote, works. How does it, what does it work for? Number one, it removes Mi'ila. Number two, another interesting sacrificial detail, which is under normal circumstances, the halacha is when you have a carbon that is pasul, you must burn it immediately. This type of carbon that is pasul but had a zrika, ultimately, again, you have a little bit of a longer window to burn it. So you don't have to dispose of it immediately. You have a bit more time. However, aval tap of ches, aval lachila hu delo meratza. Rabbi say, but halacha lemaisa, even Rabbi Akiva will agree that when we say that this zrika works might remove me'ila, works might give you a longer window, right, to go ahead and burn the carbon. But what doesn't work mean? You can't eat it. So therefore, again, Rabbi say, according to the Gemara over here, what the Mishnah is teaching me is in the case of kadshim kalim, that halacha lemaisa, the halacha is, when Zrika is done on Kachim Kalim, so what's the halacha? Number one, the Emurin becomes subject to Me'ila, and the Basar is not subject to Me'ila. Again, so the Gemara understands not subject to Me'ila, but it sounds like it's subject to something else. Okay, so how do we set up the case? It's Rabbi Akiva. The meat of the Kachim Kalim was taken outside of the Beis HaMikdash before Zrika. And then what happens? You do Zrika in the Beis HaMikdash. So what's the halacha? So the meat is no longer subject to Me'ila, according to Rabbi Akiva. The meat no longer has to be immediately burned because it had Zrika. However, again, the meat certainly will not be fit for consumption. Good. So we'll say that's the halacha. Hadrin Allah Kachay Kadashim. Mazel tov. Weiter. Chatas Ha'ov. We'll say again. So now, really fascinating sugya over here. So Chatas Ha'ov. So we'll say, so just take a look at the first Tosas here on the left hand side. So Tosas Chatas Ha'ov. Tosas gives a good introductory remark. Ad Hashta Ari Bedin Psule Kachim. Masayim Ma'alu Bayan Umikan Ve'ilach Ari Bikshirim. So we'll say, so Tosas just says, by the way, we're switching subjects here a bit. Up until now, we've been focusing on the din of kachim psulim, right? Invalid kachim, and ultimately, again, when they go ahead, or I should say, under what circumstances they become subject to me'ila. From this point on, we're actually going to speak about the halachos of me'ila vis-a-vis appropriate or kosher kachim, karbanos that are good. So watch this. Very interesting. Chatasof, molin ba, mishahok deshav. So we'll say chatasof, a bird chatos, is subject to Me'ilah from the moment that it is consecrated. Look at Rashi, right-hand side. Chatasof molin b'mishok tisha b'peh. So I will say, as soon as you are makdish the chatasof verbally, right, as soon as you verbally designate it, salach l'mayse becomes subject to Me'ilah. Filun imnana mimena mechayim kigon shemachra. So we'll say, so that's halacha number one. As soon as you verbally designate your chatas ha'of, ultimately it becomes subject to me'ila. Nimlaka, once malika is done, so we'll say again, remember, chatas ha'of is not shechted in a classic way. Instead, what happens? It has malika. Cohen grows out his thumb fingernail, right? And ultimately, again, pierces the head of the bird from the back. Right, again, we saw this extensively, goes in and separates essentially the vertebrae, the spinal cord, and lops off the head. The head has to remain attached. So the flesh by the neck has to remain. If the head becomes totally detached, so the carbon is puzzle, has to remain attached by the flesh at the neck. So nimlaka, once malika is done, what's talacha? Hochshira lihi pasl b'tvul yom umimachosra kipurim ubalina. So we'll say another interesting halacha. Once malika is done, so at this point in time, the bird itself becomes hochsher, becomes receptive to receive tuma, to either, again, the hipasa. Now, hipasa means it becomes invalid. We're going to see there's a distinction between pasal versus metame, right? Pasal means you could receive tuma, or you did receive tuma, but you cannot convey tumah. So once malika has been done, the bird is capable of receiving tumah, becoming tameh through contact with a tevul yom. So remember again, we know who's a tevul yom. That's the guy who went to the mikvah by day, or woman, it doesn't mean a guy. Person who went to the mikvah by day, but ultimately again needs sunset in order to complete their tara process. So they did everything they needed to do, but they just need sunset. That's tevul yom. Tevul yom still conveys tuma. Mechusar kippurim, that's a person of osay. So remember again, halacha lemaisa, there are certain situations where you could go to the mikvah, do everything you need to do, but there are still certain other karbonos you have to bring in order to affect complete, we'll call it purification. So the classic case of this is who? Mitzora. Right? So Mitzora, he has his waiting period, he goes to the mikvah, but still he has to bring karbonos. Before he brings karbonos, could convey tuma to the bird offering. Ubalina. And ultimately, again, being left over overnight. Essentially, no sir. So let's say, look at Rashi. Hukshur li pasul. Rashi says, Kilomar mishenimluka nitosif bakidusha shinifseles imnaga batvol yom omuchusur kipurim belina. So we'll say, just want to point something out. Remember, the greater the level of sanctity, the more receptive something is to tumah, or I should say, the more sensitive it is to tumah. So, for example, when you verbally designate the bird, right? You've identified it as a karban. What's the halacha? Subject to me'ila. Fine. Malika, now, which means you've ultimately, again, done the first actual process in the sacrificial order. You've slaughtered it. At this point in time, it's capable of receiving tuma from the tevul yom, the mechusar kippurim, and lina. Next, huza dama. We'll say, hazia is what? Is rika, right? You sprinkle the blood, right? If you go ahead and you sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach, so at that point in time, chayavan alav mishum pigul, no sar v'tame. So both of us, at that point in time, what's the halacha? The bird could be subject to the halachos of pigul, no sar and tame. Look at Rashi. Hiza dama chayavan alav mishum pigul, tazo da'ov kaimbam makum zrika. So remember again, the sprinkling of the blood. So we'll say, see the difference, right? So we'll see all of this in detail. But remember, again, you actually take the bird and sprinkle it, right? As opposed to, let's say, again, with an animal where you shecht it, receive the blood in a kli. Here we're going to, you take the bird itself and you sprinkle it. So we'll say, so the Gemara says over here that once you go ahead and you do this hazia, so Rashi says, hazad of kam makum zrika to behema. So we'll say, remember, the sprinkling of the blood by the oaf is the equivalent of zrika by a behema. So listen to this. So it's interesting halacha. So if you have, you could have a machshavas pigol, for example, at any point in time. Let's say when the coin's doing the malika. So let's say he has in mind that he's going to eat this carbon 3 days from now. Whatever. Or eat it outside of the Beis HaMikdash. That's a machshavas pigol. But when does the machshavas pigul actually create a pigul status on the bird itself? Only at the time that the blood is sprinkled. Right? Only at the time that the blood is actually sprinkled. That's what it's saying. So ultimately, again, huza dama, if you went ahead and you sprinkled the blood, chayav olam mishum pigul, no servatame. At that point in time, then the bird becomes capable of contracting the pigul state, the nosar state, and the tame state. Ve'in ba mi'ila. But it will say, halacha lemaisa, once hazia is done, so what happens? It is no longer subject to mi'ila. Rashi says, t'cheivan d'huza dama yesh v'adakam. Because it will remember again, hazia, the sprinkling of the blood by the bird, is the equivalent of zrika. So just like zrika removes mi'ila, at least from the basar, not from the imur, but from the basar, so to hazia by the bird will remove mi'ila as well. Incredible. Says the Gemara. Let's go. Katani, Hochshira li pasal b'tvul yom, u'mechusar kippurim u'balina. So we're picking up on one important phrase in the Mishnah over here. So the Mishnah said that ultimately, again, after malika is done, so what's the halacha? The bird is capable, right? It's hochshira. It is fit to receive tuma from a tvul yom, mechusar kippurim, and lina, remaining overnight. To which the Gemara's medayik, I mentioned this in the Mishnah, lipasel in avalitamuye lo. They're both saying, now what's interesting about this is the following. Remember, the lashon of lipasel means an item is capable of becoming tameh, but not capable of transmitting tumah. You hear that distinction? It could become tamei, can't transmit. So the Mishnah now makes it sound like once malika has been done, the bird is capable of receiving tuma from a tvul yom, muchas rikipurim, lina, but ultimately, again, is not capable of transferring tuma to anything or anyone else. So look at Rashi about tamuye though, shetei tmeya umetam acherim. So again, ultimately, the bird itself could become tamei, or it could become, I should say, pasul, but cannot convey tuma to anything else. To which the Gemara says, Masnisin money. Whose opinion does our Mishnah reflect? So the Gemara says, Rabbanan he. The Mishnah says, our Mishnah reflects the view of the Rabbanan. Look at Rashi again for one more moment. Rabbanan he. The Amri Kishem Sheposel Tvul Yom. Ochli Truma. Umashke Truma. Because as Rabbanan says, we're going to see in just a moment, the Rabbanan hold that a Tvul Yom, which is a person who went to the mikvah by day, but just needs nightfall to finish up his, to finish his tarab, to take away the rest of his Truma. If he touches Truma food or Truma drink, right, he ultimately passels it. He renders it invalid, or is that it cannot be consumed. It does not, it cannot convey Tuma afterwards, but it renders it passel. So, kach posa ochle kodesh de'eno metame letame achirim. So too, ultimately, again, the Rabbana will hold that Allah Chalamaisa, a Tavul Yom could do the same thing by kodesh as well. Let's see this inside. The Sanya. Here we go. The Sanya. Abishal Omer, Tavul Yom, Tchila Lakodesh. So we'll say Abishal says that a Tavul Yom is Tchila Lakodesh. Now, before you turn the page, just take a look at the last Rashi on Amud Aleph. Abishal Omer, Tavul Yom, Tchila Lakodesh, the Havi Rishon, Umashvi Lakodesh, Sheni. So we'll say, so Abishal says that a Tavul Yom is a Rishon. So let's remember again in the wide world of Tuma. So remember again how it works. You could have something called a Viavos HaTuma. You could have an Avatuma, Rishon LeTuma, Sheni LeTuma. Shlishi only applies in certain circumstances, but that's how Tuma works. So you go from an Av to a Rishon. Sabashol says as follows. Look at that last Rashi on Amud Aleph. Sabashol Omer Tvul Yom Tchil Lekodesh Tavi Rishon. So we'll say Abishol holds that a Tvul Yom ultimately again is a Rishon. That's his status. He's considered to be a Rishon Lutuma. Therefore what? When he touches Kodesh, he makes Kodesh into what? Into what? Into a Sheni. The Osa Sheni Osa Shlishi Urevi'i BaKodesh Uposa Satchuma. And Rabbi say again, when it comes to Kodesh, ultimately again a Sheni can make a Shlishi can make a Revi'i, that's where it ends. So Rabbi says, therefore again, Abishol holds, so this is the important part over here. Abishol holds that a Tvul Yom has the status of a Rishon. Status of a Rishon Latuma. Because it has a Rishon Latuma, therefore if he touches Kodesh, he makes it into a Sheni. Amud Beis. Rabbi Meir says, Metame es HaKodesh Upos LaSatruma. Rabbi Meir says, he disagrees. He says, I think that a Tvul Yom is Metame Kodesh, right? He certainly conveys Tuma ultimately again to Kodesh, which I will say, Rashi says over here, Rabbi Meir, Metame es HaKodesh, Duhu Sheni, Umash the Kodesh Lichre. Rabbi Meir holds that a Tvul Yom is a Sheni. He holds it right there. Rabbi holds that Rabbi Abishol holds that a Tvul Yom is a Rishon. Rabbi Meir holds that a Tvul Yom is a Sheni. Because of that, ultimately again, he'll make Kodesh into a Shlishi, Uposel as a Truma. But if he touches Truma, as well as I ultimately again, he'll make the Truma Pasel, but he doesn't turn the Truma itself into an entity that has the ability to convey Tuma. The Chachamim say, Kishem Shu Posel Mashke Truma, Va'okle Truma. The Chachamim say the same way, that ultimately what? The Tvul Yom has the ability to go ahead and Pasel, right? Make Pasel, which also means make something Tame. But that item cannot in turn make something else tame, the same way that the Tvul Yom is posel drinks of truma, va'ochle truma, and food of truma, kahu posel mashke kodesh, va'ochle kodesh. So too, ultimately, what? He has the ability to pasel food and drink of kodesh. Shabbosi, you see, this is the opinion of the Chachamim, who hold that effectively, a Tvul Yom, while he is Tameh, does not have and has the ability to be Metameh. His Tuma is limited in that which he is Metameh is possible, but does not have the ability in turn to convey Tuma. Therefore, again, I will say the opinion of the Rabbanon or the Chachamim is ultimately the view expressed in our Mishnah. Amar Rav, Amar Rav, Ali Abishol. So Rav said Abishol, Maila Asu Bekachim. So we'll say, so Rabbi said to Abba Shaul, it appears that the rabbis went ahead and essentially made a chumrah. Maila means a higher level, a stricter level, by kachim. In what sense? Shavyuhu rabbanon letvul yom karishon. So we'll say, so now Rabbi says, Abba Shaul, in accordance with your logic, the rabbanon were unusually machmir with a tvul yom to essentially make him into a rishon. Right, I will say which is the shita of Abba Shaul. Right, to make a tvul yom into a rishon, I will say, is a pretty significant step. So why would we do this? So it must be because the rabbis wanted to be machmir ultimately by kachim to make sure that people kept a distance from people who are ritually impure to kachim. Therefore, Chazam made a therefore the rabbanah made a chumrah. Shavim about tvul rishon. Rabbi Meir ultimately again according to Rabbi Meir ki ochel sheni that ultimately in a tvul yom is like someone who ultimately, again, ate an ochel that was a shen. That's the level of tumah that he has. Rabbanon, kevan de tavol, kalosh tumah, pasul mashvi, tamilo mashvi. According to the Rabbanon, I will say the Rabbanon hold that tvul yom in general has the lowest level of tumah. Why is that? It makes sense. Because what is the tvul yom waiting for? Just Harav Shemesh, just nightfall, right? In fact, again, he's done everything that has been asked of him. He's mamish just sitting and waiting for the sun to set. So because of that, according to the Rabbanon, he has the low kalash tuma. His tuma is very weak. And therefore, again, he only has the ability, if he touches sacrificial or sanctified items, to render them pasul. So they'll be pasul. But at the end of the day, they will not be able to convey tuma. Good. So we'll say, therefore, again, the Gemara suggests that our Mishnah reflects the view of the Rabbanon vis-a-vis tvul yom. Beautiful. We'll say very interesting now. So what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said, once you go ahead and you sprinkle the blood of the bird on the Mizbeach, so what's the halacha? So the Mishnah said, Ein b'me'ila. There's no longer, the bird itself is no longer subject to me'ila. To which the Gemara said, we'll say, same kash we had in the last parak. Me'ila hu deleka avali suri'ika. So we'll say, what does that sound like? It sounds like once you do zrika on the bird, then what's the halacha, or hazia we call it, right? Sprinkling, then what's going to be the halacha, Rabbi Osai? It's not subject to me'ila. But what? It sounds like maybe there's some other isra that remains. Vamai. But why would that be so? Once you do the sprinkling of the blood, ha mamona de kohanim hu. Rabbi Osai, the bird becomes the mammon of the coin. If it becomes the mammon of the coin, there should be no problem. In other words, Rabbi Osai, the coin eats the bird. So there should be no problem over here. So we'll say again, the Gemara sets it up the same way we set it up last time. What's the case? The case is where he did Malika on the bird, took it out of the Beis Hamikdash before Zerika was done. And therefore, whose opinion is being echoed in the Mishnah? The opinion of Rabbi Akiva. So Liyotse, Rabbi Akiva, he da'amar Zerika mo'eles Liyotse. And therefore, again, the Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Akiva, who says that halacha lemaisa, zrika works by yotzei. Which means what? That if you do zrika on an animal, on sacrificial animal that is not inside of the Beis HaMikdash, ultimately the zrika is effective. But what is it effective for? What is it effective for? To remove mi'ila. What is it not effective for? To render it fit for consumption. The lav bas achilohu. Good. So says the Gemara. Bosei, now we come to an interesting machlokes. So Amrav Huna. So we'll say, so Rav Huna says the name of Rav. Good. It is. All right, we'll get into a little bit. There's a whole discussion about, you know, and previously in the cases of taking out the animal and then doing Zerika, it's easy to set up that case because the blood is in the kli, right? Here by the bird, we're going to come back to this case. We'll do it later. So the Gemara says as follows. Am Rav Huna Rav. So we'll say, here we go. So if we're going to say the name of Rav, we'll say, this is really a fascinating situation. Mitzui chatas ofin megafi. So we'll say a word of background over here. By the bird, so there's really two parts to the blood avoda. There is the sprinkling, what we call the hazia, which is, again, you do malika, then you mamish to sprinkle the bird against the mizbeach. And then there is the mitsui. The mitsui is the squeezing out of the rest of the blood from the bird. We're focusing now on the mitsui right now. So here we go. Amrav Huna Amrav. Mitsui chata sof enoma akev. So what's Rav Huna says the name of Rav. Then Allah says the squeezing out of the blood from the body of the oaf is not ma'akev. It's not makir. Others will say that you have to do it. You have to do it. But halacha lemaaseh says not. Look at Rashi just a moment before the lines get wide. Am Rav Huna, Am Rav Bitzli, Hachatas Dechatas Auf. He says, "D'chsev v'hanisha b'dam yimatzei la'achar azay yimatzei." So I'll say ultimately again, "Einam ha'akev." He's quoting the pasuk because the pasuk says, "V'hanisha b'dam yimatzei." So we'll say it says the rest of the blood shall be squeezed out. That pasuk is mentioned after the hazah, after the sprinkling of the blood. So halacha lemaisa, the whole pasuk is v'hiza midam achatas al kiram mizbeach. So you will go and you will sprinkle the blood of the bird on the side of the Mizbeach. V'hanishar badam, the rest of the blood. We'll say, this is the rest of the blood that's in the body of the bird. Yimatzeh al yisod Mizbeach chatosu, shall be squeezed out by the base of the Mizbeach. It is a chatos. So now we're going to see yisodistik machlokes about the role of squeezing of the remainder of the blood. So Rav Huna said, the name of Rav, Mitzvei Chatasov, Eino Ma'akev. Halacha l'maisa, as much as you're supposed to go ahead and squeeze out the remainder of the blood from the body of the bird, it's not Ma'akev. V'tani Rav, Huza Dama. And therefore, again, Rav understands in the Mishnah, we'll say that when the Mishnah seeks out the real blood service of the bird, what does it say? Huza Dama. The blood is sprinkled. Zrika of the bird blood is the ikker. The mitzui, which is a squeezing out, is a mitzvah, but it is not ma'akev. It's not an indispensable part of the avoda. Rav Ada bar Ava Amarav. Rav Ada bar Ava, on the other hand, disagrees. Rav says, this is a machlokis in what Rav said. So Rav Ada bar Ava said, no, Rav said, mitzui chatas of ma'akev. Not true. Not true. Right? The squeezing out of the rest of the blood of the bird is absolutely ma'akev. V'tana Rav mitza dama. And therefore, we'll say Rav in Rav's version of the Mishnah, it says halacha lemaisa mitza dama. That it says only once the blood of the bird has been squeezed out. Again, do all these halachos apply? Pigal applies, Noser applies, Lina applies, and it is no longer subject to Mila. So we'll say, so for our purposes, the fundamental machlokes is, it's a two-prime machlokes. Number one, is the mitzvah, is the squeezing out of the blood an indispensable part of the blood service for the bird? So you have Rav Huna singing in the name of Rav, no, it's a mitzvah, but not the ikuva. And Rav Adabar Ava singing in the name of Rav, ultimately, again, absolutely, it's the ikuva, it's the akev. If you don't do it, the carbon's not good. We'll say, for our purposes, what's the major nafkamina? Major nafkamina, when is the Me'ila prohibition lifted? So it would appear that according to Rav Huna Amarav, the Me'ila prohibition is lifted as soon as Zrika is done. Because again, the Mitzui is a mitzvah, but it's not Ma'akiv. According to Rav Adab Bar Ava Amarav, the Me'ila prohibition is only lifted when? After the Mitzui, after the blood is actively squeezed out and put by the base of the Mizbeach, then Mi'ila is gone. So we'll say, so let's analyze. Tashma. So we'll say, so the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, V'hanishar b'dam yimotze al yisot al Mizbeach chatosi. So we'll say, so the Pasuk literally says, the beginning of the Pasuk seeks out the sprinkling of the blood. V'hizam midam achatos al kerem Mizbeach. You'll take the blood and you'll sprinkle it on the wall of the Mizbeach. V'hanishar b'dam yimotze yisot al Mizbeach chatosu. And the remainder of the blood in the bird shall be squeezed out by the base of the Mizbeach. It is a chatos. So bishlama the Rav Adabar Ava. So as the character of Adabar Ava, the pasuk reads beautifully. Haynu dichsev v'hanishar badam yimotze chatosi. So we'll say, remember again, Rav Adabar Ava will say, look what the pasuk says. You have to squeeze out the remainder of the blood by the base of the Mizbeach. It is a chatos. That phrase of chatos here, Rav says, seems to be a modifier on the last phrase, on the mitzui. You have to squeeze out the blood by the base of the Mizbeach. Why? Because this is part of the chatos process, which tells us that what? Tells us what? The mitzui is an indispensable part of the bird offering. Without mitzui, the carbon is not good. Hello, Rav Huna, my v'hanishar. I, but according to Rav Huna, what do you do with v'hanishar? Kedetana debe Rabbi Shmuel she'im nishar. So Rabbi say what it says is, according, how does he use it? He uses it to teach me she'im nishar. Rabbi say, what does she'im nishar mean? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Kedetana debe Rabbi Shmuel she'im nishar. Rashi, left-hand side, about, 12 lines up from the bottom. Kilomar. Im nishar min adam, mitzvah las was mitzui, aval in lo nishar, lo ma'akev, de mitzui eno ma'akev. So we'll say what he teaches is, he says, im nishar means, if there's blood left, you should do mitzui, but if for some reason there's no blood left, no. right? We'll say whatever the mitzias is, right? Whatever the mitzias would be. So here in the sense, im nishar, actually it's just the opposite. Im nishar is like an optional phrase. If there's blood left, you should do mitzui. But if there's not blood left, don't worry about it so much. I umay chatasi. But I will say, Rav Huna, what do you do with the phrase im chatasi? And I will say, im chatasi sounds like a very strong statement telling you that what? That mitzui is an indispensable part of the chatas process. Umay chatasi, areisha. Ultimately, again, he will say that that last phrase of chatasu, ultimately, again, is not going on the mitzui, but rather, what is it going on? V'hiza midama chatas. It's actually going on the first phrase, ultimately, again, in the pasuk, which is talking about the actual sprinkling of the blood. So we'll say, so therefore, again, we have this fundamental machlokes about, again, everyone agrees, of course, that you do what we call haziyah, or hazaya, right, the sprinkling of the blood of the bird on the mizbeach. The fundamental shail is, what is the role, ultimately, again, of what we call the mitzvah, the squeezing out of the blood. Rav Huna is saying that it is a mitzvah, but it is not ma'akev. Rav Ada bar Ava telling us that it is absolutely likuvan, indispensable part. So we'll stop over here for today, and the Meretz will continue with this machlokes tomorrow.